Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be speaking about deliverance being yours. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your graciousness to us, God. Father, I thank you for your mercy toward us. I thank you for you allowing us to stand in your presence because the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, has made us worthy to stand in your presence. The blood of your son, Jesus Christ, has made us righteous in your presence. Father, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that has been sent to dwell within us, perfecting us and making us able to be effective in the world as we operate the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit that you place within us, so that we can walk within the fullness of the power and authority that you place within us, so that we could effectively reconcile the world back to you, God. Father, I thank you for your goodness, your graciousness. I thank your power that you allowed to reside within us, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us the desire to manifest that power in the earth so that signs, miracles, and wonders can go forth and many can be healed and delivered and restored because of that power that we allow to flow through us that comes directly from you, so that your will can be done in the earth. God, I thank you for tonight's teaching impacting someone in a way that causes them to go forth and perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth for you, so that you can be glorified, so that souls could be won toward the kingdom and people can be turned from sin to your son, Jesus Christ, so that they can enter into a fullness of relationship with you, and they can be restored, and they can be strengthened, and they can strengthen others as they share the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, with others. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to this song of praise by Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
and it's breaking.
How about that?
This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Every yoke is destroyed. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving. It's breaking. Our worship is shifting the
things don't feel like you think they should. Don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I'll lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing, I worship this shifting, shifting, shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carp. Tonight, we're going to be discussing deliverance being yours tonight. But before we get started, I'd like to welcome all of our brothers and sisters in Christ in South Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Brazil, in Australia, in Botswana, in Zambia, in Cameroon, in Saudi Arabia, in India, in Thailand, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Russia, in Romania, in Italy, in Spain, in France, in Ireland, in Finland, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Poland, in Hungary, in Norway, in Latvia, and in Fiji. I welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ to participate in tonight's teaching and receive the Word of God in a way that allows you to be able to share it with someone else this week as you go forward. Tonight we're going to be talking about how we have been called to not only be delivered, but to deliver others. When we think of Christ accomplished at Calvary for us and why he accomplished what he accomplished at Calvary for us, it leads us to ask the question, how are we to be in this place of favor? How are we to stand in this place of so that we don't find ourselves without the power that is required in order for us to fulfill God's purpose in our life? I think of what Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 18, when he said, "And these signs will follow those who believe me. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." See, Jesus Christ is speaking in absolute terms here. He is not being oblique. He is not making suggestions. He is not being vague. He is being very specific. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. Now, we call ourselves believers. We call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says that in my name, the believers, in the name of Jesus Christ, the believers will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we are going to be delivering people. We are going to be casting out demons. We're going to be healing the sick. We are not going to be able to be poisoned by our enemies. If a serpent happens to lay hold of us and bite us, it will not harm us. And look at what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. It says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus Christ says, the works that I do, will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And see, Jesus Christ said, you're going to do greater works than these. Speaking of the quantity, see, Jesus Christ's ministry here on earth was only a little more than 3 years. And for us, because Jesus Christ was going back to the Father, we were the ones who were going to be continuing those works. And it says greater works than these we will do because Jesus Christ went back to his Father. And that's speaking of quantity of works. We are going to be able to do so much more because we're going to be here. We're going to be here a minute to get the job done. And so God has entrusted us. He's entrusted us with so much power, unlimited power. The power of the Holy Spirit within you is unlimited power. You need to know that. You need to understand that. You need to latch on to that and understand that not only is deliverance available for you, but deliverance is available to all who come in contact with you because you're the one who's been called by Jesus Christ, if you believe in him, to perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. You've been called upon to cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. You've been called upon to speak with new tongues, to speak in tongues. Those who believe will speak in tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, we are in a spiritual battle. And so we have to focus on what God has given us to do and we have to be deliberate. Too many people believe that the devil has far more power than he actually has. After Calvary, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, and given all power in heaven and in earth and under the earth. The devil has convinced many people that he still has the power that he had before Calvary when he did reign over the earth and even under the earth. But it is no longer the case. When we understand that he's always been, when we understand that it has always been God's desire to unite man back to his original place in the presence of God, then we can embrace the need for our total deliverance, our total physical deliverance, our total spiritual deliverance, our total emotional deliverance, our total financial deliverance are all available to us when we believe God's word and make ourselves available to train ministers of the gospel who know how to effectively operate the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. See, to desire deliverance is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God says, humble yourself to me and I will exalt you. I will lift you up. Ministry of deliverance is vital in this season because there are many people and there are more people coming to Christ than ever before. As the numbers of Christian converts increase into the body of Christ, the need for real deliverance ministry is vital and necessary. At the early stage of salvation, many people are in a very real transition that must be understood. It must be embraced. It must be protected. The devil's most aggressive attacks come when one increases their level of commitment to God and his purposes. As ministers of reconciliation get more adept at winning for the kingdom of God, there must be a more effective deliverance ministry employed. This nullifies the effectiveness of the devil in the spirit realm to wreak havoc on God's people in their early stages of development. Deliverance ministry also becomes vital as their progression in Christ continues and as they increase in their level of commitment to God, his kingdom, and his righteousness, Jesus Christ. When deliverance is offered to a person, it is often rejected or neglected because a devil spirit's not just going to invite you to make them homeless. You must be able to speak with the individual while they are in a state of extreme need and obvious bondage, which makes them seek deliverance. If a person is in a comfortable state of bondage, and they are comfortably offered as a casual suggestion to be free of a devil spirit, they will most likely reject or neglect this opportunity. The Holy Spirit can direct you to cast the demon out of a person, and this can happen without the consent of the individual if God so directs you because God is sovereign. The concept that deliverance can only occur at the front of a church during an altar call is a faulty notion because there is much effective ministry occurring on a daily basis by those who are being led by the Spirit outside of the walls of the church. The other idea is that if one considers altar ministry and deliverance like getting a tune-up or an oil change for your car, then this may also be a reason why people neglect deliverance. They often see many others who repeatedly come to the altar to get something that they can only get directly from God. Empowering people with the ability to study the cleansing word of God for themselves is what ultimately allows an individual who is delivered from a devil spirit to maintain that deliverance by filling the empty void that is created by the absence of the devil spirit with the word of God. The first of three essential things that a minister should do before engaging in altar ministry is to be fervent in prayer and in intercession for the saints. Jesus Christ told his disciples that they were not effective in casting out the epileptic spirit because they were not in fervent prayer and fasting. The second thing that must be done is fasting. Fasting allows a minister to be in a place of preparedness and humility to understand that their flesh also needs to be brought into subjection and submission to the Holy Spirit in order to allow the fullness of this power to flow through them without resistance. The third thing that a minister who is engaged in altar ministry should do is to be deep in study of the Word of God. This is important because God knows who will be delivered through you next. When you are in deep study of the Word of God, this is cleansing you at levels that are only accessible through the Word of God. The level of confidence and knowing your Heavenly Father, this intimately means that you can effectively communicate God's heart for His people, to His people, in a way that actually delivers them. People and devil spirits both know when an individual is going through the motions of parading as one with authority and power versus one who actually operates in authority and power on a regular and consistent basis to the glory of God. Selfishness and bondage is an interesting dynamic of satisfying the desires of one's flesh in order to create a state of contentment. The illusion is that one is creating a safe place for their own well-being when they are actually limiting their own potential by avoiding people, places, and things that require them to sacrifice in order to discover something greater than what they are already familiar with. A great example of this dynamic is the prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10 states, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the name of the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." This is a great example of someone who is making themselves available for something greater by resisting selfishness and bondage. Selfishness and bondage are the direct result of pride, which draws a person away from God's protective covering and makes them highly susceptible to being trapped by doubt, worry, and fear. Pride essentially creates a do-it-yourself mentality that requires an individual to limit what they commit to because they know what they are actually capable of. However, when we say and pray what Jabez said and prayed, we are asking God to bless us greatly so that we may be a great blessing to others. We are saying that we want God to expand our territory and influence so that we can expand the kingdom of God. We are saying that God's hand will be with us so that God himself would reverse the curse of our mothers upon us by not allowing us to be pain makers for others. Our physical body serves as our tabernacle in some respects because it is guiding us through this temporal existence. But the Bible also says that this body is a temple, which we know is to be a permanent structure unto God. I look at the body as the arena in which the battle between our spirit and our flesh compete for the attention and dominion of our soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotion. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's what it says in Galatians 5:1. And see, today, Independence Day, Day of Liberty in the United States, we celebrate liberty here at this time. Look at what it says here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The only liberty that we really have is in Christ. Standing in liberty is directly related to not being entangled with the yoke of bondage due to unbelief. Our body craves food, shelter, comfort, acceptance, riches, approval, and many other things that are not bad all by themselves. But when they are coupled with an attempt to avoid the need for a relationship with God, they are harmful. If an individual's need to be free from what one does, from what drives them, if an individual's need to be free from what drives them to store up earthly riches in an attempt to avoid lack, they are bound by fear of not trusting in God. This is similar to the early people of the earth who conspired to resist God's desire to spread mankind all over the face of the earth in Genesis 11:1-9. And they decided to build the Tower of Babel in order to create a central place, a city, and a tower that reached to the heavens and allowed mankind to make a name for themselves. When we fall into the same type of sin, resisting the purposes of God in our life, then our body suffers by becoming a haven for devil spirits instead of a home for the Holy Spirit. The lust of the eye allows sin to penetrate into our heart. The lust of the flesh allows sin to satisfy our every human longing. And the pride of life seeks to replace God's purposes with our own purposes. And this is always futile. The story of the seven sons of Sceva depicted in Acts 19:14 could have turned out differently if Sceva himself showed up and directed his eager followers to follow God through his son Jesus Christ instead of following him through an example of Paul. In this scenario, Sceva proceeds to cast out the devil spirits in the name of Jesus Christ, and his followers would learn how to properly operate in the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. When a man places himself in a position that only God and Jesus Christ can fill, then they are setting up their followers for failure, disappointment, and abuse, as we see in this awesome account of a lack of spiritual authority and power. 1 Corinthians 11:3 states, "I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." These men accepted the name of their leader, Sceva, and walked according to his teachings that were without force of authority or power because it was what I call a secondhand anointing. They were really not anointed at all, but they were rather self-appointed priests sent by a self-appointed high priest, which led them to their demise. 1 Corinthians 3:4 states, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? As bad as it is to follow men who are led by the Holy Spirit, just imagine how debilitating it is to follow men who are not led by the Holy Spirit, as Sceva was. Having the ability to realize that we are only vessels of the Holy Spirit that are designed to dispense God's goodness throughout the earth is something that every good under-shepherd under the authority of Jesus Christ should embrace and impart to their flock of individuals who are growing and developing as ministers of reconciliation. No matter what capacity God sees fit to utilize us in ministry, we must humbly embrace the fact that we are all ministers of reconciliation to fulfill the primary purpose of God to reconcile the world back to Him. As it states in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Offense is an open door for bondage because it is a natural human response to attempt to protect ourselves when we've been harmed or abused. This is especially the case in extreme cases of abuse when people whom we trust are the perpetrators of real physical and emotional bodily harm and pain. It is more important to understand that an initial response toward experiencing a painful situation can easily progress into a lashing out against God because you believe that He failed to protect you. We must ultimately understand that God's willingness and ability to protect and keep us during the good events, the bad events, the great events, and the ugly events in life is always engaged when we receive it. The devil's favorite attack is to suggest that there is something that we could have done to prevent a traumatic situation from occurring. The fact is that many things in life are beyond our control and that we need to lean, trust, and rely on God at all times. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 7 states, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The key to being able to glory in tribulations instead of falling into the pitfall of offense is that we know that tribulation is God's way of developing more patience, experience, and hope within us. If we don't know this, then we'll fall victim to blaming ourselves, others, and ultimately God for our lack of allowing God to lead us into good, great, bad, and ugly situations and still knowing that he has all power, all knowledge, and he's always with us no matter what we are facing. When we learn to face all of life, the good, the great, the bad, and the ugly, then we will not fall victim to bondage as a result of the trap of offense in our lives that is laid by the devil. There was an instance when a lady went to the altar for prayer, and she was greatly disturbed, hearing crying and wailing was real. This lady's crying and wailing was real, and her pain and anguish was just as real. She went to the altar and returned to her seat absolutely the same as when she went to the altar. My wife turned around and spoke healing into her life, which placed her in a state that she desired to be in when she actually left the altar. The main thing that would have created a different outcome in the situation is if the minister that was praying for the woman identified that she had a need that was greater than his spiritual disposition allowed him or her to effectively minister to. When he ministered to her and called upon another minister for assistance, this could have rectified the situation. Ever a clear instance that ministry is never about the minister, but it is about those who are being ministered to. It is in deliverance ministry. We should never allow an individual to leave the altar feeling that God has not met their desire to seek his power to effectively operate in their life and free them from bondage of any type. The example stated above of the seven sons of Sceva is a prime example of how churches become bound in oppression. There are four things that we must do in order to absolutely know that we are walking in full fellowship and alignment with God. We must serve God and not money. We must please God and not people. We must trust God and not lean to our own understanding. And we must operate in faith and not in our own strength. The seven sons of Sceva allowed their confidence in Sceva to be their secondhand access to power that can only be assessed or accessed by going directly to the throne of God. A church or assembly that is financially secure, soundly organized from a business perspective, and very successful outwardly can be led into wholesale sin by following the leader of that organization instead of following the example of Jesus Christ in humility to God. Jesus Christ never spoke on his own authority, but on behalf of God Almighty. Jesus Christ said that he did the works that he saw his Father doing in heaven. We must resist the devil's counterfeit version of what righteousness looks like and always clearly define and stand on what the righteousness of Jesus Christ looks like. Just as Jesus Christ humbly submitted to the authority of God in all things, even unto death, so should we. When a church or assembly is serving money, pleasing people, leaning to their own understanding, and operating in their own strength, they will always fall into wholesale sin, just as we will do when we operate in this way as individuals. Altar ministers must learn to heed the admonition to always realize that in altar ministry, you are always working as a team. If you understand this, it enables you to more confidently focus on the specific spiritual needs of the individual seeking deliverance instead of being concerned about your own preparedness or lack thereof. We should always be prepared but there are always degrees of preparedness that are required in order to fend off certain demonic influences and possessions. I believe that there should always be a member of a deliverance team that is coming out of a true Paul fast in every service that is specifically dedicated to deliverance. So if you don't know what a Paul fast is 3 days of no food and no water. If a church has a large enough congregation, it can conceivably have a deliverance team that is large enough to require that at least three individuals are coming straight out of a three-day Paul fast prior to major deliverance ministry. The other thing that came to my mind was that a church should have a dedicated space for simply intensive deliverance, which is conducted privately, safely, and securely. When exercising certain demons, it is best not to have women, children, the elderly, and infirm directly exposed to potential harm. That also seems advisable not to expose those who are susceptible to demonic influence to spiritual activity that may simply transfer a devil spirit from one susceptible host to another. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, Jesus Christ read from the scroll of Isaiah, which said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The same Spirit of the Lord that was upon him is within us. We should be preaching the good news to the poor. We should be proclaiming freedom to the prisoners. We should be recovering the sight of the blind. We should be releasing the oppressed. We should be proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, or the time period of the Lord's favor in our case, because this period of grace has enabled us to walk in the fullness of God's favor and power to do all of the above. When we get to the place where we understand that God met what Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 18, it says, "And these signs," Jesus Christ said, "these signs will follow those who believe in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." These are absolute. And then Jesus Christ said again in John 14, 12 to 14, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus Christ has said this. Jesus Christ put this forth. And it's for us to believe this. It's for us to receive this. It's for us to walk in the fullness of this, understanding that God has a very real plan that is at work in our life. God is serious about making us these vessels of honor in the earth that are going forth to bring signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth so that many can be delivered, so that many can be restored, so that many can be healed, so that many can know that God is serious about delivering his people. God is serious about restoring his people. God is serious about strengthening his people in such a way that you will power in the earth. So I want to encourage each and every one of you to stand on God's promises and know that all that God has placed within you is all that you need in order to deliver and be delivered. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for you blessing someone greatly in a way that allows them to receive your deliverance and your restoration in their life. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Live Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, be ye transformed.